another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream.
Hello, this is Jack Spirko, Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and the changing economic times and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. And right now, folks, times are getting tough in a bunch of different ways. Times are really tough for my brother Texans down there in Galveston, in Houston. Last I heard, Houston had over 2 million people without power. Galveston looks like a nuclear bomb went off. And the pictures I've seen are very reminiscent of what we saw with Hurricane Katrina, except for the fact there's not tons of people sitting on top of rooftops, because most, and I emphasize most, of the people of Galveston had enough damn common sense to get their butts out of Dodge when they were told to. Unfortunately, folks, I can't tell you that the Texan is, you know, infinitely more intelligent than the Louisianan, because it just isn't true, because there's plenty of them that didn't leave. And now search and rescue crews are launching what will be the largest search and rescue operation in the state of Texas to try to go find these people that were dumb enough to stay. And the most common reason that these people are given once they're rescued is, I didn't have any place to go. Well, you're going somewhere now. All right, let me just put it to you that way. You're going somewhere now, so obviously you did have some place to go. It may not have been a place that you wanted to go. It may not have been a place that you'd chosen to go. And folks, I just did a podcast about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, where I talked about the old story of the grasshopper and the ant. All right, and if you haven't listened to that podcast, go look it up at thesurvivalpodcast.com and listen to my story of the grasshopper and the ant. But I'll summarize the story real quick here. The story is that the ant and the grasshopper all through the summer shared the same field. And the grasshopper played all day and he ate whatever he wanted because he didn't need to worry about things. And the ant labored and toiled and carried food back and forth through his den. And the grasshopper laughed at the ant, and the ant told the grasshopper, "Winter's coming." And eventually winter came and the ant went in his hole. The grasshopper pled with the ant for his food, and the ant said, "I have my own family to take care of. Go find yourself another place to live." And, of course, the grasshopper dies. And in that podcast, I talk about how we've ripped off our children by taking away the part where the grasshopper dies, and we've changed it to where either the grasshopper is taken in by the ant, taken care of, or some other nonsense, and we've taken away the consequence of the stupidity, which is not preparing. Well, folks, a hurricane is a winter. Okay? Because the winter in the story is a metaphor. It could be any event. It's not just winter that's cold. Yes, that's something that, especially, you know, in the time of Aesop, who actually wrote that fable, that winter was a time of little and summer was a time of plenty. So people would understand the metaphor. But the metaphor is anything. It's saving money so that when you lose a job, you have a job. It's when you live on an island in the Gulf of Mexico, having some stuff to take with you and being ready to get out some way, shape, or form if and when you need to leave. It's exactly what we talk about here. And once again, we're seeing what happens when people don't do it. Now, what I want people to understand and the lesson that I want you to take away from this, because I know that I would say 90% of my listeners do not live on the coast, maybe more than that. And I would say at least 90% don't live anywhere where you're going to be directly threatened by a hurricane. You know, this hurricane basically made its way up to Dallas-Fort Worth area. It kind of went to the east of us. But, you know, Tyler didn't get wiped out. Tyler, Texas is fine. It went right over my place in Arkansas. If I look at the projected path, I can almost put it on Google Maps and do a GPS to where my place is in Arkansas. And a damn near eyewall of a storm went across there. No damage to my property. At least I don't think so, because my neighbor hasn't called me and told me anything happened. And when I go up there next month again, I'll see. But I doubt anything went wrong up there. Hurricanes are a terrible force that rapidly declines in capability as they move inland because they get all their fuel from the water. So if you don't live anywhere there, you might be looking at this, and it's real easy to scoff, and it's real easy to have my attitude of, man, you should have been ready. But my question to you is, are you ready? Are you ready for whatever comes, for whatever happens? And this podcast is kind of going to be a little bit of a shorter one, because what I really want to talk about this week and I want to do maybe more than one show on this week, is what just happened over the weekend in addition to the hurricane, which is as follows, okay? Merrill Lynch went to the edge of bankruptcy and was bought out by Bank of America for $50 billion, which is buying out a major brokerage firm for pennies on the dollar of what it would be worth if you could get rid of the debt that it has. Hopefully BOA has a plan to get rid of that debt, because I don't know that BOA really has the $50 billion to spend, let alone the money to cover the debt, but they're taking a gamble on this thing, and they're understanding that the only way to be successful in the modern age, this modern financial age, is to be as big as you possibly can. This is a consolidation. It's very similar to what happened around 1913 and 1907, and that climactic collapse that brought the Federal Reserve in, and it's very similar to what happened in the Great Depression. The big fish started gobbling up all the little fish. Well, this time what we have are the huge fish eating the really big fish. All right, so that's what we saw. BOA, gulp, there goes Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch is an icon. Merrill Lynch has been sucked up and absorbed. So that means this year alone, Bank of America sucked up Countrywide and Merrill Lynch, two of the largest and almost long-term financial institutions in the United States. And they're rolling the dice here, folks. I mean, people that are holding BOA stock are feeling real good about this right now. I'm not holding BOA stock. Now, the other side of this, Lehman Brothers. I've been around for 153 years. Now, if you work for a company that's been around for 153 years, in the financial business, in the business of loaning money to other banks, that's what Lehman really is, an investment bank. So it is the bank to the banks, just like Bear Stearns was, okay? Just like they're a firm very much like Bear Stearns, been around for a century and a half, bankrupt this weekend, bankrupt, out of money. People left and right across the globe, cardboard boxes full of their crap, cleaning their desk off, and heading out of the office. It's Barclay, whoever the hell was. This other British firm was at the table, very seriously considered buying them out, doing a BOA thing, walked away from the table. And I'm sorry I don't have all my facts here, because this just got dropped this morning. So that's why I'm going to keep this podcast brief today. I'm only going to give you some of my initial thoughts on it. I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to give you the Jack Spirico opinionated inside story about what it means to you and what you need to do. Right now, I only have a surface, but I want to point something out. Why is it that this crap always happens on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning and gets dropped into the actual world on Monday mornings? When everybody's in disarray, when nobody's really paying attention, everybody's trying to get their week started, winding down from a weekend, eye off the ball. Why does that always happen? Don't you think it's being planned this way? Don't you think that what they figure is by Friday, you'll have watched Monday Night Football, a story about Paris Hilton doing something stupid, maybe some pictures of Britney Spears doing something dumb with her kids, some celebrity game show, and it'll kind of be in the back of your mind, and yeah, the 401k, I'm not touching that for 20 years anyway. Business as usual. Don't you think that's why this stuff is done that way? I mean, I do. And I mean, you got to understand that the global implications that something like this has, and ask yourself, would people that are intelligent enough to understand these dynamics make that choice? And of course they would. I've had to fire people. And we think, you know, when we have to fire somebody that we're worried might be upset about being fired, we think long and hard about the actual day that we're going to fire them. We usually choose to fire people on Fridays. And if anybody that works for me is listening, nobody's planning to be fired anytime soon, so don't worry about this stuff. And I mean that sincerely. But we choose Fridays because it gives a person a weekend to kind of, you know, absorb the fact that we usually give them a decent severance package, and they're going to be okay for the next month or two. They can go out and find a new job, and, you know, we've done whatever we can to help them in the transition. They just weren't working out. So that by Monday, they're ready to go out and look for a job. because we want them to do well. We don't fire people with, you know, any kind of malice. It's always with, man, I wish I didn't have to, but for one reason or another, this just isn't working out, so let me put you into the best situation I can, and we think about that situation. We also think about it for the company. You know, we feel that we're less likely to have some guy freak out and come back with a gun Tuesday morning if they're terminated Friday versus Monday. And it may be a very small hedge, but it's an easy thing to do. So it might involve keeping a guy around for a few extra days once we've made the decision, but we're going to do that in most instances because we've learned, and collectively all the people that run the company that I run and run the companies that I help support have figured that out. Now, if we've thought about that, you know, in companies with five or six people in it, don't you think that people that are impacting an announcement to billions of people worldwide, 300 million in the United States, this affects every person in the United States, put the same kind of thought into the psychology. And that's why this crap is always done in a dark room over a weekend when we're not paying attention. And I guarantee you people will be talking about this, okay? They'll be talking about this tomorrow. Friday, they won't be talking about this. Friday, they're going to be talking about what they're going to do with their weekend. All right. Friday, this will be the furthest thing from their mind because the American consumer has been led into a place where once something bad happens, if the temperature in my swimming pool doesn't immediately drop, if the bottom doesn't completely fall out of my 401k, and if I don't lose my personal job, we've already dealt with that. All right. That's the mentality. Why do you think that the earth-shattering news about the Freddie and Fannie Mac takeover, okay, met the American public with, like, nobody really cared. Nobody really got upset. They just took $200 billion minimum up to $1 trillion of our money and flushed it down the toilet by bailing out these idiots. And everybody went, you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because we had already had the Fed bail them out, quote unquote, back in the summer. So what people thought is, well, we've already dealt with that. Let's see. 401k, I dropped a couple points, that's been happening, whatever. They probably didn't even look at it. They get a statement once a quarter and look at that, or once a year and look at that. All right. Temperature of the pool, stick the toe in, it's pretty good. Boss, do I still have a job? Yep, you still have a job. We don't do that. Okay, great. Yeah, can we pay the mortgage on it? Yeah, okay, fine. No consequences. Because the American consumer has lost foresight. So this foresight's being used against you by taking this news, dumping it into the system on a Monday, and knowing that our mass media will purge it from your mind by Friday. And what I want to call out to you today is don't lose sight of it. Don't let the magician's trick distract you. Pay attention to the quarter that's in the right hand. Don't pay attention to the magician scratching his left ear with his left hand while he palms the quarter and makes it seem to disappear. Because that's what's going on here. Because these things, this BOA buyout of Merrill Lynch, okay, the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae takeovers by the federal government, and the bust of Lehman Brothers, and there's someone else that I'll talk about tomorrow that's whipping in the wind right now, that's probably going to go under, another big name, within the next 7 to 14 days. I'm telling you, these people are probably going to go under too. And the reason they're going to go under is because the American people now are cracking a freaking whip, and it's about damn time. The American people are saying no more. The American people are pissed off that we've pumped all this money into Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. All right? They're pissed off because we pumped a bunch of money in there in the summertime, and enough people paid attention, and here we went and pumped a bunch more money in, and we've assumed this problem is the responsibility now of the taxpayers. And the people that ran the private corporation, if you want to call that, I call it a fascist corporation, because it was a private corporation propped up, backed, and endorsed by the federal government. And guaranteed by the federal government. Those people are still buying matching Ferraris this Christmas, okay, to give themselves a present. Those people are still multi-millionaires. Those people didn't lose a dime. And the stockholders, the shareholders in these companies lost their ass, and the American people have taken on a debt of $200 billion to $1.5 trillion, depending on how honest anybody's being with us. So the American people have said, enough. So what happened is Lehman came to the Fed and said, please help us. And the Fed can't do it. So this other party that came in and wanted to buy them out, I wish I could remember their name. They're a huge firm based out of London. It's something with a B. Briley, whatever it is. Again, it's just happened this morning. I heard it as I woke up and came out on a completely different show. Anyway, these guys came in, and they're pretty cash heavy, and they said, we'll buy them. And they said, great, buy them. Go ahead. And they said, but here's what we need. We need a loan guarantee. So we'll be able to deal with this, you know. So if you'll guarantee us a loan under our terms, which is basically a bailout, because when a Fed loans a bank money, they never pay it back. All right? When the U.S. government loans a business money, they never pay it back. If they give you a small business loan, you're going to pay it back, or you're going to go under, or they're going to take everything you have. But when the federal government gives somebody $1 billion, they're never seeing that money come back, and they know it. They call it a loan to make you more agreeable with it. But the government went, we can't do it. The people are ready to get out the pitchforks, okay, and the torches. They're pissed, right? So we can't do it this time. So the third party went by, and they went, okay, well, we're done. 153 years, down the toilet. Pack your stuff, folks, and get out. So this is going to, you know, is Lehman going to completely go away? No, what will happen is, all the stakeholders will come in and rape and pillage it and take everything they can from it, leave a stripped-down corpse, and then somebody will step in and buy what's left of it. What I want you to understand is this has been done before. What we're seeing happen right now is not new. It's the same thing that these bank cartels have been doing for over 100 years, since the institution of the Federal Reserve System and the Federal Reserve Bank. It's a very simple process. The central bank controls the money supply. They release the money into the system. They let the private sector, at least the so-called private sector, divvy the money up and push it around. They let people build up giant entities. They contract the money supply when they need to. They manipulate interest rates. They control the value of the currency. And when the big fish start to fall, they come in and they loot and pillage like pirates. And they buy out companies for pennies on the dollar. Okay, or they let the company crash to the ground and they buy out the corpse for pennies on the dollar of what's left, and then they consolidate, and then they start the process over again. It's a way to keep the cycle moving, because the way these people make money is not by keeping the money. It's by making the money circulate so they can harvest the efforts of you, your labor, and my labor, and the labor of the people of the world. That's how this system works. So, I don't want to really go much deeper than that today. I just want you to be pissed off today that we're in this situation. I want you to start asking yourself, if you don't know the answer to this, why is this the way that it is? Because, you know, in the great old movie Network, which I've only ever seen clips of, I'm about to buy that movie and rent it, the guy says, I know one thing. Before you do anything, you got to get mad. So I want you to get mad today. I want you to look at this, and I want you to realize what's happening. And I want you to realize that by the time the guy that works across the hall from you, or in the door next to you, or in the cubicle next to you, or next to you on your assembly line, or wherever you work, that guy next to you that's uninformed about this stuff, that by Friday, if he even knows about this today, by Friday it'll be the last thing on his mind. He'll be more worried about his fantasy football picks. Okay? Or going to a store, or taking a vacation around Christmas time, or making reservations for family to come in for the upcoming holidays. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but all those things, coupled with Britney Spears, all right, and Monday Night Football, and all this other glitz and glam on our TV, will have taken it and washed it away into a blue sea of nothingness. And under the surface, these things are a cancer that will decimate our economy in the coming years. Because what happens when one company buys another company is they start laying people off left and right, because the whole point of consolidation is to not duplicate effort. So you have two huge, giant human resources departments to run a Bank of America and a Merrill Lynch. You promise some of the people are going to keep their jobs, right? You get them to do all the work to transfer it over, and maybe one or two you keep as a token so you sleep better at night, and the rest of those people lose their jobs. And that process gets repeated in the legal departments. It gets repeated in technology. It gets repeated in programming. So what you're going to see is all of these banks buying out other banks, laying off vast numbers of people whose primary skill sets are in the financial sector, which is contracting, so there's going to be no jobs for them. Since there's no jobs for them, it's going to put, what's going to happen? I mean, this is a spiral. All right? You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. All right? The next step after that is is that now the people that lose their jobs out of these businesses, hold on, I'm just thanking a guy for letting me in and being a good guy. Anyway, so now the people that have lost their jobs can't pay their bills. Right? So they default on their mortgages. They walk away from them. And a lot of these people were high-paid people. They have very large mortgages. These are the people that live in the five boroughs area of New York or out on Staten Island and pay five times for a house what people in middle America pay for the same house. Right? These are people that have more in property tax payments on their home than most Americans pay for their home. Right? And they're gonna be out on the streets. They're going to have to sell off assets, right? What is that going to do? It's going to cause more bank failures, which is going to cause more bank absorption. This process is just begun. It's going to continue to run, and it's a reason that you need to consolidate your wealth into safer assets. It's a reason for you to shore up food. You might wonder how you make the leap from here to there, you know, and you might go, well, you could have the complete, total financial collapse of America, societal breakdown, that type of thing. Yeah, you could, but I don't see that happening, not just from this. There'd have to be some other agitating factor to come in, you know, a flu pandemic or something like that. I'm not saying it can't happen. What I'm saying is the most probable course of action now is that things are going to get tough. So that's going to cause inflation. So the price of food, all right, is going to go up. That's going to affect the supply. Because since it's going to cost more money for people to buy it, people are going to buy less. When people start buying less, the capacity side has to be adjusted down. But the actual need for food is going to stay level. People have to eat a certain amount of food every day. All right? So you're going to end up in an economy with a lot of people in situations that are very uncomfortable financially, having to make some very tough decisions. And when that happens, it affects everybody around them. Because again, you got this cascading effect. All these little companies, down to the janitorial company that cleans the floor at an individual branch location of one of these companies, suffer, and they have to lay people off, and that hurts the economy. This economy's not going to get better in 2009 like they're telling you right now. They're saying, right, I just heard a guy on the radio that first quarter of 2009, the credit books are going to have to get opened back up because there's going to be such a small return on cash. You know, treasury bills are paying 0.75% now, that people are going to have to seek a way for a better return. Well, what's going to happen is people are going to go, I don't want to return. I don't want to lose anymore. I need what I have. I'm going to spend what I have. I'm going to liquidate. All right? You're going to see people paying the penalty to suck money out of 401ks. That's going to happen because you know what? When you're in a situation where I can either have 80% of my money and keep my house, or 80% of my money, sell my house, walk away from my house, and at least put a roof over my family's head in a more modest home, or I can have 100% of my money waiting for me 10 years from now, or 15 years from now, or 20 years from now, and I can live in a soup kitchen, right? People are going to make the decision to take the 80%. That's going to pull more money out of the market. More and more people are going to get upset with this. More and more people are going to snap to this, and they're going to come out of the tech sector. They're going to come out of the financial sector. They're going to pull money out of those stocks. Right? Why do you think that every broker and agent is telling people right now Bank of America is a good buy? Look, they did it again. Why? Because Bank of America is paying people to say that they're a good buy. I promise you that. That is not, you know, that is something that companies do. It's called public relations. All right? So Bank of America wants to be the big fish here. They need capital. So they need people to keep pumping money into their stock. Because if people start taking the profit that they made on BOA and walking away from it and they pull that capital out, they're not going to be able to continue to operate this way. And they're not going to be able to continue to juggle these two balls now of the mess of Countrywide, all right, coupled with the mess of Merrill Lynch. This is a bad situation. It's going to go from bad to worse. I'll give you more insight on it tomorrow. But as for what to do, protect your wealth. Put some, if I don't care if it's a couple hundred dollars, put a couple hundred, $500 into some silver. Put it away somewhere on the shelf, just in case. If nothing else, you'll hand it down to your kids. All right? Store food. Start trimming your budget. Spend less money. Look for every way you can to cut your budget and start putting money away. Keep money in cash on hand. If you have money in the bank, keep money in the bank. That's, you know, that for right now, that looks like it's pretty much okay. Keep some money in the bank. Keep it in cash. Be able to get at it. Starts to look bad, go get it out. Go get it. Don't listen to them when they tell you, don't worry about it. Right? If you listen to them say, don't worry about it, 2 weeks later, you'll be in a line trying to get money that you can't get. Right? So just be prepared to go pull the money out. Right? Put it in a strong box. Put it in a safety deposit box. Even if they close the bank, sooner or later, you'll be able to get in the doors to access your safety deposit box. All right? Store food. This is an easy thing, you know? Store food because of all things. Food is the one that you really can't live without. And be prepared. And pay attention to keep your eye on the ball. And don't be distracted by the magician's trick. Don't believe this election's going to make that big of a difference. Either party that wins, you know? I got to be honest with you. I like this Sarah Palin gal. I do. I think she's an outsider. I wonder how long she'll stay an outsider once she's in D.C. But I really think in the end story, whether we have a McCain presidency or we have an Obama presidency, it isn't going to matter. The only person that could have saved this country from the pain that we're about to go through is a guy like Ron Paul. And the reason that the American people rejected him, honestly, is because he was willing to put us through some pain to avoid a much larger pain. To fix things. And people don't want that temperature in their pool to go down. But you know what? Winter comes every year, and the temperature of your pool drops every year anyway, folks. So just, again, stay connected with reality. Tune in tomorrow, and I'm going to go deeper into what these mean. And I'm going to tell you the third company that's going to be going broke soon. It's going to go under unless somebody else buys them out. Does a BOA. BOA ain't going to do it. They don't have the money to buy these guys out. But another big one's going to fall, and my question for you is, are you ready? Are you preparing? Are you getting ready to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't? Because, folks, it looks like they're going to get tough. But remember, if they don't get tough and you prepare yourself to live a better life, then great. All right? So this is about prospering no matter what happens, because I am not a soothsayer. I do not have a crystal ball, and I am not able to tell you that these things are coming because I'm a genius. The only reason I can tell you this stuff's coming is I actually pay attention to what the people say that the media attempts to drown out and ignore. This is no big surprise. Lehman Brothers, they've been talking about these guys going under for a long time. And people on the backside of the media have been saying for a long time, nobody's going to buy this pig. The only way it's going to happen is when the government bail out, the government's not going to do it again. They can't. This is just, you know, the FDIC's in deep crap from bailing out these little banks with it. And they just put all this money into Freddie and Fannie, and people are pissed that it's not going to happen. And then here it comes, and it happens just the way they said. But you haven't heard that. Why? Because they don't tell you that. Because they don't want you to know. Because they want to announce it on a Monday morning so you'll forget it by Friday. So that's my big message today. When you hear something on Monday, remember it. Still remember it on Friday. Write it down on Monday. And see if you do remember it on Friday without looking at your notes. You'll be surprised at how many things you'll forget that are announced on a Monday that come out on a Friday. And you have to ask yourself, why do they want it that way? They want it that way so they can keep playing their games and they can keep enslaving both our nation and our people in greater, vaster amounts of debt. And that's something else we're going to be talking about more this week. I know that some of you guys aren't big into the financial economy aspects, political aspects, but that's what this week is going to be dedicated to, because there's so much going on. You guys need to hear about it. You need to know about it. Then next week we'll go back into planting gardens and stuff like that, because that stuff's important too. Maybe we'll talk about fishing and hunting, because we're coming into the time of year that's really good for going hunting. But right now, this week, this is what we're going to talk about. Hope you enjoyed today's show, and I hope it makes you mad. And tomorrow, again, we're going to go into this. Later this week, we're going to talk more about the creation of Federal Reserve, where it came from, what it means, and how it's being used to manipulate the monetary system. Again, this has been Jack Spirico with the Survival Podcast, helping you live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
And you can holler, it really doesn't matter. All gets spent.